praise you, Father. We bless you, we worship you, and we praise you, for you are worthy to receive all of our praises. Father, we praise you for the great work you're doing in your people in this hour. We thank you, Father, for the words that you're speaking in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for the manifestation of your presence in our lives. We thank you for your blessings and your keeping power, Lord, for your great salvation. And Father, we thank you that your will, not our will, but your will is being accomplished in earth in this hour. Amen. Every visitation of God in the earth, and when I say earth, I mean us, within us, because that's the only place that a visitation takes place, is within a people, has always been the results of intense desire to have a refreshing from God and a fresh word. And it's always been preceded by intense seeking and praying to God. We can look back at revivals and or moves of God or visitations of God throughout the history before us, and it's always been preceded by a time of individuals being dissatisfied, or I should say, instead of dissatisfied, an intense hunger to know God, to have a fresh visitation from God and a fresh word from God. Not knowing what that word would be, and we go back, I know in the late 1800s in Virginia, they tell us of how they sought God and prayed in the homes and in the fields, and wherever they were, there was such a desire. And I know in the 50s in Strawberry Lake, Minnesota, they fasted and prayed for a year, seeking for a visitation from God. And from Christmas to New Year's, they got together every night. And of course, this was a Mennonite community that did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God sovereignly baptized them in the Holy Spirit. But the fact that I'm trying to get across is that there's always been an intense desire to know and to have a fresh visitation for God. And today is no different. I know Tommy and I were talking about that the impatience that we have to see the manifestation of the sons of God. We've seen that vision, and it has brought an intense and desire to see the reality of that vision. And I read the last Elwin Roach, and he was talking about us dwelling in huts. The Feast of Tabernacles, and God commanded them to build huts and to dwell in. They were only big enough for one person, and to dwell in that hut for 7 days. And I know a few years ago we said the same thing down at Myrtle Beach, that this was a time that God has called us aside to individually deal with us. And our desire in this hour is to see that vision that we have had come to pass, to see the manifestation of the Son of God, that corporate Son in the earth. And I believe, like I was telling Tommy earlier, we don't know how long that 7-day period is going to be. You know, our timing and God's timing is always different. It's not something that God's going to dictate because we desire to have it. He's not going to move the date up earlier. But that is His purpose that is being planned. And I just think that this is a time and a day when, you know, the Bible says they heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. There's those even in our move that all they want to desire to do is to hear something new or to have some great revelation. But this is an hour that God is intently working within us. when Joshua took the reins or became the leader in Israel, his commandment was to go in and possess the land. That was a natural command, a natural land. But we are to go in and possess our land. Every inch of our mind, that is between our two ears, must become transformed, metamorphosed, and renewed by the Word of God, by the washing of the water of the Word of God. And so what we are doing in this hour, we're coming to Him in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, which, you know, we've always preached this as a salvation message. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, we're living in an hour when of total uncertainty. Darkness seemingly has just covered this earth. There's rumors of wars and rumors of wars on every hand. I mean, look at Israel and Iran at this time, Afghanistan. The years that America spent in Iraq, with all the problems there dealing with those people and happening. Everything, and even in our land, the unrest and the walking away from the moral standards that our nation was built upon, the things that we have cherished for years, you know, and even in our individual lives, the things that we honestly have no control over. We look at the things that we confront individually and have no control over. And Jesus says, "Come unto me." He said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's all coming into the knowledge and the understanding of who God is. And I know we've talked about trust before, but I think it all comes down to those two words of faith and trust. When you meet somebody in the natural world, you may click as individuals, but as you get to know them, you become to trust them more. And that's the same way it is with the Lord. I believe that He has brought us in to our hut of the Feast of Tabernacles, that we may come to know Him in the reality and the fullness of who He is. Because God's manifested sons are going to speak His words. I believe that's one of the major, I don't want to say traits, I don't know how you'd even say it, but Jesus and the Father were one. There was no division between them. And yet Jesus made the statement, "The things I do, I don't do except I see the Father do them. The things I speak, I don't speak except I hear the Father speak them." Now, that came from trust. That was absolute, total trust. When He stood outside the grave of Lazarus that had been dead for 4 days and spoke those words, what did He pray? He said, "I pray, Father, not for me, for I know that You hear my words, but I pray for those around here that hear." Because He knew that when He spoke the words, "Lazarus, come forth," that nothing in this world could stop Lazarus from coming out of that grave. Nothing could stop him. Because that word went forth, and that was the word of the Creator of this universe that spoke through him. And that's the same way it is with the manifestation of the Son of God. Is that when the reality takes place that God's sons are unveiled in the earth, You and I, as His sons, are going to speak God's word into creation. Not our word. And that comes from trusting Him. It comes from knowing Him in all of His fullness, that when I speak what He says, it's going to produce what He sends it to produce. That's what He says about His word. He said, "My word shall not return unto me void." And so Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest means to cease from your labor. You know, we are not trying to please God. You can't please God in this flesh. We're not trying to please God. We're doing that we know the best that we can. And the church, "Oh, that's not right." But what does the church require? Go there to their meeting place, pay your tithes, be faithful. But when it comes to loving one another, they ignore that. You know, all they're concerned about is something outward. But God's not concerned about this outward. He's working on that is between our two ears. And so He says, "I'll give you rest." He says, "My yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's what Jesus says. So what He's saying, come to me. You know, in this time, instead of seeking a word, seek the word. Instead of seeking a revelation, seek the revelation. Seek Jesus. That's what He said about the book of Revelations. That it is He sent it in signs and symbols. It's a revelation, an unveiling of Jesus Christ. And that is to know Him. In Hebrews 4:3, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified, "For we who have believed, are hereto and trusted in and relied on God, do enter that rest in accordance with His declaration, that those whom do not believe shall not enter in, when He said, 'As I have sworn by my oath, they shall not enter my rest.' And this He said, although His works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundation of the world." So we enter in to His rest, not ours. Verse 10 says, "For he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own labors, as God did for him." You know, you hear people all the time saying, "I'm trying to please God." How do you please God? He said obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not what I do, it's what I be. That's what we have learned. It's not what I do to please God, it's what I be. And that is, as I see Him, I see the revelation of who I am. Because as He is in this world, so am I. So we have ceased from our labors. We're not trying to please God. We're trying to be that son that God has called us to be. We have entered in. And in Paul, probably the greatest apostle of all, in Philippians 3:10, and reading it from the Amplified, says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in some way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit in His likeness, even in His death in hope." Notice what He said, in spirit. He didn't say in body. You know, Paul also was the one that made the statement that we have a tabernacle, that if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have a heavenly tabernacle. His desire was to receive that heavenly tabernacle, not through death, but while he lived in this physical body. He was looking for that manifestation of the sons of God. He was looking for immortality even while in this realm. He wasn't looking for it after he died. He was looking for it now. And so for his determined purpose was that he knew God, that he progressively became more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing the wonders of his person more strongly, more clearly, that he might come to know the power outflowing of his resurrection, and he might share in his sufferings. You know, that's what we desire today, and I believe that's what God has called us into. You know, Elwin Roach spoke it. He said this thing, you know, there's no large gatherings. There's no, you might find a group here, and you might find a group there, and then sometimes they come together for like a convention or something like that. But, you know, the first fruits of the harvest is never great big. That first fruits harvest is never a large harvest. It's those that have become ripe first. Well, God's always had that first fruits. And what does the church? The church dismisses the home groups or the small groups because they say, look at this church. Here's 5,000 going on Sunday morning. Surely that's where God is working today. You know, the multitudes, the bigness of it. But look at Jesus. When he hung on the cross, how many did he have? Out of 3.5 years of ministry, he had 11 people. 11 people. And even those walked away in the end when he was crucified. And in this hour, God has picked out for himself a remnant, hallelujah, in the earth. Here in Bellhaven, Vanceboro, all over this world, this morning, some are even just by themselves with nobody to fellowship with at all. But it's that remnant that God has called in this hour and has placed in the booth and has called to himself to begin and carry out the transformation, the metamorphosis that is going to bring forth the unveiling, the birthing of a son in the earth. That's God's purpose. That's God's work. And every visitation that has ever happened on the face of this earth since the day of Jesus has never started in a multitude. It has always started with a small group of people. Even Azusa Street in California started with a small group of people. Everywhere, every visitation, Martin Luther's, look at him, started with one individual that saw the just shall live by faith. But hallelujah, the fact of the matter is that God has imparted and instilled and revealed in you and I shall be proclaimed from the rooftops and shall be proclaimed all over this world. The joy of what God has done in us shall bring an impartation into creation that is going to set creation free from what it is. And therefore, with even all of what we are passing through, the darkness, the night seasons, the valleys, the crises that touch our lives, it will be worth it all in the end. In the midst of all that we are, there is the light of that revelation, the fire of that word within us that is burning in this hour. That word that God has spoken that we cannot deny, that we cannot turn our back on, that we cannot walk away from in this hour. That word is a fire in the midst of us. That vision is as bright as a noonday sun. and as real as the breath that we breathe. And so it is that in this hour that God is bringing us to Himself. That just as Paul said here, that I may know Him. The King James says, in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. And that's what's happening. The I that I am is dying so that He may live. Not as an I, but as a corporate body, a corporate son in the earth in this hour. And in verse 11 it says that I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. And the Amplified says that if possible, I might attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even, hallelujah, while in this body. Paul had a vision of life and not death. Paul's words was of life and not death. And his desire was that he may obtain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts him out from among the dead, even while in this body. And that's what we do. We walk in that we know. You know, it'd be wonderful to hear great revelations. That's wonderful. We have all heard it. I know when Stacy came, we heard those words that actually was not, it confirmed what was already in us. But how wonderful it was to hear that. But then there comes a time when we have to take that which God says and begin to walk it out in our lives, that it becomes a part of our lives. That revelation is not just words, but it's life, that it's spirit, that it's truth, that it's a part of us, that it's bringing us into a closer a relationship with Him. And Paul the great apostle said, not that I had already attained or already made perfect, but he followed after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am made apprehended of Christ Jesus. If I may apprehend that which I was apprehended for. Hallelujah. It is very evident that God has apprehended us for that day of manifestation. We can look back in our lives and see the hand of God that has so worked through our lives in all of these years, that has brought the truth of His Word, even in the midst of where we were, the babble, the confusion, the denominations of where we were, that God reached down in the midst of all that religiosity that we had and spoke that word of truth, put that seed of truth in us that has blossomed and grown unto this day. And we know it's God. Because there is no desire to turn back. There's no desire to go back to that which we were or that which is behind us. But He has brought us to understand that. And so now it's a finishing day. It's as Elwin Roche pointed out, the number 7 is the number of perfection. And I was talking to Tommy this morning. We don't know how long that 7 days may be. You know, we don't know how long it is. But it is that 7 days that we're dwelling individually in His presence that is going to transform us and conform us and metamorphose us into His image and into His likeness. And we also know that the ending of that 7 days is going to bring about the manifestation of the Son of God in the earth. That's what we're looking for. So we patiently wait before Him. And that's hard to do in this body of flesh. We're impatient people. We want God to zap us. We want God to somebody to lay their hands on us and we be manifested. But that's not God's way. God's doing a work in us. So that at the end of this work and the day of unveiling, there will be nobody that will stand up and say, look what I have done. Because you will not have done one thing. It is all of God. And in Psalms 42, 1 and 2, the psalmist says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My soul, hot, that is between our two ears. My soul panteth after God. My soul, my desire, all that I am, is thirsting for the living God, to know Him in the fullness of who He is. These are days that to me are exciting. I know there's problems on every hand. I know there's crisis. I know there's individuals that's going through some very hard times. Even God's children were in the place where we are. But I also know that these are days of transformation. These are days when the Word of God is being made spirit within our lives. These are days when we're marching through our land, not just by ourselves, but God, because I can't change that that's between my ears. I can't change that. Only God can. And He is changing it. He is changing it. That our mind is renewed by the Word of God. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the metamorphosis of our mind. These are days that we seek Him, that we pray, that we listen to His Word, that we be still before Him, that we cease from our labor, our doing, and that He will bring His purposes to pass in our lives. That vision does not dim, but it grows brighter and brighter even until the noonday sun. That Word does not become dull, but becomes more intense in our lives. There is a desire, there is a burning, there is a fire within us that God has put within us that determines and says there is no turning back. There is no option of going back to what we were, because the intenseness of His revelation is so great that there is no desire. But there is a desire to know Him. There is a desire to seek Him. There is a desire to hear His Word in the midst of this hour, to be like Him, to see creation set free from all of its bondage that is under. God, let it be. Let it be. Whatever it takes to bring us into that position, let it be. For we know that the ending of it all is going to bring about the manifestation of God's Son in the earth. We know that the ending of it all is going to bring about creation being set free from the bondage. Creation is groaning in this hour. You can see it everywhere you look. You can see the pain, the agony that is in creation. And you can also see that the church is not fulfilling that, is not the answer to fulfill that mission. That only thing the church is doing is satisfying those that attend. But beloved, God's got a people in the earth in this hour. God's got a people that is individually being drawn aside from everything else in this hour. That as Moses, when he saw the burning bush, said, "This will I do. I will turn aside and see this." Got a people that have seen a vision of the unveiling of the sons of God in the earth. A people that have seen a vision of creation being set free from the bondage and the curse and the chains of death that had held it all of these years. A people that have seen the glorious liberation from under the curse and under death. a people whose vision has been burnt within them throughout the years as God has spoken Himself within the midst of them, and a people wherein there is no retreat, no turning back, no relinquishing of that which God has spoken within them. That word has become so much a part of them. It has become the true fire of God that burns, hallelujah, in the midst of them, that nothing that no one says can ever deter that determination that's seeking God in this hour. It is that intense desire to know God that has been a part of every visitation that has ever been on the part of this earth. Hallelujah. It is that intense to seek God that has been a part of every desire of every soul that has ever walked in a visitation of God on this earth that is within us in this hour. It is an intense desire to know God in the fullness of who He is and the fullness of who we are, and to know the fullness of His purpose that He has proposed for us before the foundation of the world. It is that intense desire that has been birthed within us as God has called us individually aside to deal with us, to speak to us, to encourage us, and that our soul, our mind, our heart would be renewed and metamorphosed, that every inch, every nook, every cranny of our mind would come under the influence of the Spirit of God, that the spirit and the soul may become one. Hallelujah, that the veil, the covering may be taken off, and the world may see the work, the handiwork of God that He has done in a people in this hour. Thank God. Thank God for that intense desire, that burning fire within us that is moving and motivating us forward to seek and to call upon our God and to walk in the words that He has placed within our heart, to not be discouraged, to not turn back, but to move forward even in this hour, to know Him in the fullness of all that He is. Praise His glorious and wonderful name. What a wonderful and awesome and magnificent God that we walk with. Our God reigns even in this hour of darkness, even when it seems like that everything around us is crumbling and falling, and everything we have believed in is being put aside and kicked aside by everything that this world can do. Our God reigns. Our God is in control. Our God who created this universe and everything that is in it, our God is in control, and He rules and He reigns. And His purposes, regardless of what man says, His purposes are being carried out in the earth in this hour according to His will and His purpose. And no man can turn God. No man can reverse what God has said. No man can stop what God is doing. No man can slow down or speed up what God is doing. His purpose is going to be done in the earth in all of its fullness. And we're going to walk in the fullness of His will to accomplish that He has called us to accomplish. We bless Him and we praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen.